right, let's welcome our senior pastor, Pastor Richard.
Yo, yo, yo. Hey, good morning. I think we got more laughs from you all about the guns coming out than anything else. Praise God. It's good to see you. Give me a wave. Fantastic. Are you excited this morning? Check with your neighbor and ask them, are you excited? Fantastic. Oh, I just realized something, love. Would you get those little things, Chrissy? Would you bring those up here, love, please? Oh, and while she comes up, does everyone know it's her birthday? Yeah! Wow. Fantastic. Well, I would not want to be in any other place in the planet than here with you. Right here. I believe God has a message for us, a message for you personally, a message for us corporately today. And I want you to listen up real clear, okay? Are you listening this morning? I know there's like a zillion distractions that want to pull you to one side, but I'm going to ask now for your attention for the next 35, maybe 40 minutes to listen up to the Word of God. Amen? Great. Visitors or sleepers, I just want to let you know we are in the middle or towards the end of a series called Don't Go to Church. It's interesting. I'm actually trying to change my vocabulary. I don't say I'm going to karaka or to church referring to this building. I refer to I'm going to a service or I go to Karaka Street. But church for me is people. It's a corporate gathering and it's also a small group. I go to church on a Friday night. I was at church yesterday morning with my Connect group out there at Denny's in New Lynn. Church is people. Church is not a building. It's not an event. It's not a crowd. It's not technology. Church is people with spirit moving between each other, bound together by Christ. That is the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Now, you missed a real good moment right there to go, amen, preacher. You can get all cheeky on me if you like. Amen, preacher. Okay, so if you've not been here, you've been asleep maybe, or just been away visitors, it's kind of in-house, but it's good for visitors to see how we roll, what we value in this place. We're just not into events. We do events, but they always have a deeper purpose. Frankly, I think the culture's sick of events and hype. What people really want is something called authenticity. The real deal. And unfortunately, the church has not always presented herself well in that regard. Would you agree? So it's called Don't Go to Church, Be the Church, because it's all about this. It's answering the one question, what does it look like to really follow Jesus? Not do church. Not try to be a good little Christianette. But what does it look like to authentically, really, like truly follow Jesus Christ? And the series is really looking through the lens of Peter the Apostle. Before he was an apostle, he was a disciple. And before he was a disciple, he was actually a failure. And I love it, the fact that we're looking through the lens of a man who seriously let God down. He seriously let him down. And so we're going to look through the series now. I want to talk about something really, really important today. It's one point. It doesn't matter whether you're a baby boomer like me. Any baby boomers in the room? Come on. Baby boomer, Generation X, Millennial, Generation Y. It doesn't matter if you've got straight hair, curly hair, black hair, brown hair, ginger hair, blonde hair, no hair. I want to talk about something today. Very important. God loves it. The devil hates it. The world craves it, and we desperately need it, friends. What on earth am I talking about? I'm talking about authentic community. Authentic community. The enemy absolutely hates it. Now, I want to give you the definition according to Richard. Community, as far as church relationships go, mutually beneficial spiritual relationships. You can't have koinonia without spirit. You do know that. Hanging out, having a good time is all good, but unless Jesus is there, that's what I can't actually have. Biblically speaking, I can't have fellowship with a lost person. I can have friendship, but fellowship, koinonia, the Greek word, requires spirit-to-spirit feeding. That's why we do discipleship. That's why we do what we do. We're hoping this morning, dear friend, that you would receive something from the Holy Spirit today. Not be entertained by a band or some crazy speaker like me, but you would receive something from God today. In your spirit. We're not into infotainment and entertainment. Nightclubs do that a whole lot better, but this is the church of the living Christ. His bride, his girl. The church, his dream, the church. Mutually beneficial spiritual relationships formed to complement, love, and serve each other. Hashtag church. Hashtag spiritual family. Hashtag connection. Jesus, now I want you to get this. Listen up real carefully. This is so important. Jesus called his disciples to follow him. True? Am I preaching the Bible this morning? He called his disciples to follow him, but guess what? He called them to follow him in community. And get this. This freaks me out. You ready? The disciples did not choose who to follow Jesus with. He didn't say, hey, Peter, are you all good? What, you all good to Simon over here? Are you all good to Simon the Zealot? Matthew, Luke, look, hey, can we have like a little talk? Go down and have a little, you know, a little coffee down at Starbucks. And just see if there's some kind of chemistry going on. You know, we could eat the same food. We wear the same clothes. We listen to the same jams. I mean, you know, come on. Let's make sure we're all good before we sign up for this. No. Jesus said, you follow me. Let's go together. They had no choice. You mean to say, Pastor, God might put me in a church with stranger-looking people? Yes, sir. Do you mean God might put me amongst the people that I just don't get? They're all kind of nerdy and geeky, and they don't kind of eat what I... Yes, I do. I believe God absolutely does that, my friend. God did exactly that thing with me when he brought me to Morningstar. I was once again the minority in the room, being a Caucasian. The music was not really my cup of tea, to be honest. It was, yo, me with that sunrise. It was kind of black, African-American, southern kind of gospel-y stuff. It wasn't my groove at all. But I know God put me there. You see, you find your people, you find your purpose. But something in our souls keep wanting to drift to people just like us. And I'm persuaded Jesus will say, you, follow me. And you've got to learn to get on. We're going to open this up further in a couple of weeks' time. That's why we're extending it, because I want to talk about race. I want to talk about reconciliation. I want to talk about diversity. But today we're going to deal with one other simple principle. Jesus did not give people a choice on what church they belong to. 1 Corinthians tells us that God sets people into churches, into people groups as he chooses. So it's not about consuming. It's not about what feels good to me necessarily. Is everyone following me on that? I'm not going to open that up any further, but I want to tell you, yes, by all means, do I align with the vision? Do I align with that? But I pray, I hope that God puts you amongst a group of people that you don't naturally get along with very well. Because you're going to become a better person. They're going to become a better person. And guess what? The sweet, glorious church will be stronger and more beautiful and better. Because ladies and gentlemen, you will not be in the sweet, pleasurable company of God Almighty in heaven and looking like people just like you. There won't be segregation in heaven. By race or preference of food or language, we're all going to be one glorious tribe, one tribe, one multiple nations together before the throne worshiping him. Let's get used to it right now. Why is community so hard? Well, it's that last little word. It's that little word on the end of community. It's unity. Common unity is where you get the word from. It's the word unity, and there are three barriers to having unity. The first one is the Adamic nature. That's a theological term for students of the Bible. What that's referring to is way back in the day, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Adam rebelled against God. He ate the apple. And when he rebelled against God, when he rejected God's law, it was like a plague, an infection into the family of God, into the human race. It's called the Adamic nature. That's why you, just like me, don't find it hard to do wrong things. We have to try to do right things, don't we? Would you agree? So we have in our very nature this Adamic nature, this thing that is so consumed, intoxicated with self, what we want. I fight it too. It's a barrier to unity. Individualism is a barrier to unity. The second area or second barrier to our unity is a broken and wounded soul. I think we can say this morning, this room is full of broken people, including the man on the stage. When we have faced rejection, we will be very careful about how we expose ourselves to somebody else. When we've been abused, when we've been hurt, when we've been let down, when we've gone through pain, and we've gone through situations that affect our soul. Would you agree this morning? There's caution, there's mistrust. Can I really trust you again? And I, you know, the man, the daddy issues, I mean, the family issues, the people issues, all of our issues, friend, they plague our soul. And not only have we got Adamic nature, our own nature, even when you're brought up in a perfect family with all the money in the world, in the most blessed situation you could have, you've still got an Adamic nature. But on top of that, most of us carry wounded souls. And so what do they do that for? You know, we read things into things, we're sensitive about all kinds of things, and I get it because I'm the same. And we've got this barrier, it keeps preventing unity. That's why there are tribes of people like the wildebeest of Africa that move from church to church looking for this thing. But there's an Adamic nature that's working within them. There's a soul woundedness inside of them, and there's also the third barrier, which is straight up, man, the devil. The devil will do anything to block authentic community, authentic unity in the church. Why? Because the devil knows a church united cannot be defeated. A church united cannot be defeated. This morning I'm going to take the very unusual step of learning a lesson from an evil spirit. We normally talk about Jesus and the disciples, but today we're going to learn from an evil spirit. You mean we're talking about an evil spirit? I thought we were going to learn about... Yeah, you do. Anybody involved in the military forces will understand you need to know the mind of the enemy. We're going to learn from an evil spirit. You see, Jesus, his ministry is going fabulously well. Things are happening. He's teaching. He's healing. His miracles are happening. And he's right there and he's teaching a crowd. And he wants to illustrate to the audience. It's a mixed audience. He wants to illustrate how the devil wants to take control of you. And so he talks about this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Feel free to turn there with me. When an evil spirit leaves a person and goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none, then it says, I will return to the person and come, I came from. So it returns and finds its former home, a person. He finds that person empty, swept, and in order. So I want you to follow this with me. Evil spirit leaves a person, he comes back and finds it clean but vacant. And what does the evil spirit do? It goes and gets its connect group. It goes off, it says here, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. The evil spirits have probably more intelligence and power. The evil spirit had the good sense to know, if I go and connect myself with other spirits, I'm going to have more success. He sees the evil spirit realizes, even the silly evil spirit has enough intelligence to realize I'm better off together. I'm better off uniting myself with other spirits. You see, the evil spirit realizes with eight of us, we're going to have victory and breakthrough because the evil spirit realizes you never fight alone. Maybe That's why some of you keep living defeated. If an evil spirit knows it's only going to get breakthrough being in union with other spirits, dear God Almighty, shouldn't the church realize you're never going to get living in victory and breakthrough when you're independent and on your own? How in God's beautiful name do you think you're going to make it when you're all independent and all on the outside? That's why the devil uses all his tools of murmuring, of offense and criticism. Yes, I'll say it. Racism in the church, elitism in the church, independence in the church. The devil uses it like provocative tools, like poking the bear, to stop the church being in union and becoming the beautiful bride that she was destined to be. Why does the devil do it? Because he knows a church united cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. Can you say that with me today? A church united cannot be defeated. Oh, dear God. The devil's agenda is to isolate you and me. Because when you're isolated, you're defeated. You can even sit in those lovely red chairs and be defeated. Going from defeat to defeat to defeat, not getting the success, not getting the breakthrough, not feeling what your soul really does crave for, community, belonging. But our souls and the devil and our Adamic selfish interests prevent genuine union with other people. That's where we get the word communion. We're going to celebrate communion at the end. It's union comes, unity comes from the word union, common union. Our common union is Christ, and in Christ we're called to become family in Christ, not just to follow him, but to work, go with other people. And probably they're not like us. A church united. Did everyone get the idea where I was going with that? Oh, thank you. I knew I'd only need my t-shirt this morning. It's all hot in here right now. Church, where you can laugh, cry. Church. When Jesus talks about church, he's thinking of two or three. He's thinking of 12. He's thinking of 70. But he's never thinking alone. Sir, madam, maybe that's why you are where you are, because you remain on the outside and you're not tied into the family of God. The devils, the spirits, they know. I've got to connect myself with other spirits to get breakthrough, to get victory. A church united cannot be defeated. I believe this is one of the great strengths of our church. The elders and the staff are united in heart. No friend, we're not spiritual giants. No friend, we're not intellectually brilliant. And no friend, our elders and our staff are not all the same kinds of people. Ethnically diverse, marital status different, socioeconomic class, if I can use that word, I hate the word, different. But the reason this church is so blessed and so strong is because the eldership and the staff, we are united in our hearts. We are committed to this church. We are committed to one another. We are committed to church family. Are you committed to this church? Find one that you can commit yourself to be established in and walk together. The reason I know this is a blessed church, I see the fruit of it all over the place, but I want to tell you the scriptures. Psalm 133 says this, where there's unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Hallelujah. It says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. In verse 3, it goes on to say, for there the Lord bestows or commands a blessing. Commands a blessing. And I'm talking about unity today because I know where God's taking us as a church. We're expanding. We've got four congregations now. Saturday night, Sunday morning, Tauranga, Hamilton. We're going off to Wellington, and as a good shepherd, as a good daddy of the house, I've got to make sure all the family's on board and our hearts are in unity, because I know the enemy is trying to attack the church. He always has and he always will. Let's keep learning from the devil. Now I'm going to show you something I've never seen before. I've read the Bible many times. I love the scriptures. I love reading it and studying the Bible. About 30 years after Jesus said what he said in Matthew 12, you've got Paul now. And Paul is reminding us that Christ has united peoples from all the nations unto himself and one another in church. But Paul is reminding us that there is an enemy. Ephesians 6 verse 12. Many of us are very familiar with it. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is what I want you to notice, and I've never seen it before. I want you to look at the plurals. The plurals. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, plural. Against powers, plural. Against the rulers, plural, of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Praise God. Plurals everywhere. The devil is uniting his forces, friend. The devil gathers together. The devil understands the power of many chopsticks together. The devil understands the power of unity. When there's one heart and one mind, the devil understands, dear friend. He's doing it right now. Even as we speak right now, he's assembling his forces. He's getting his principalities together. He's getting his powers together. He's getting his spiritual hosts of wickedness together. And he's giving them strategy. He knows your weakness. He's assigning them. And he's setting them against you. And he's setting them against us, because he knows, friend, the words of Jesus. He knows what Jesus is trying to build. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So all he's got to do is disunity, division, racism, oh, competition, breaker, rejection. It's all he does is go through the church. And if he removes the strength of the church and the mobility of the church and the victory of the church, he's got the world, because the church is the light to the world. We're the bride of Christ, the army of God, the family of God, the children of God, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church. And all he has to do is keep us all separate. I can't believe what they said. I'll go sit on the other side of the auditorium. I don't feel connected. I believe you're as connected as you really want to be. We've got 50 connect groups here. I've learned, when I don't feel connected, to connect. You expect the whole world to wrap around you, friend? We are called to learn how to build relationships, to be gracious and humble, and look for common ground and start there and build a relationship. We might just learn something, and we might just learn that our way is not the only way. And the way we approach life is not always right. There's a big world out there. We would do well to connect ourselves to people who are not like us. Are you tracking me this morning? A church united cannot be defeated. And the devil knows it. And he gets us busy, and he gets us feeling indifferent, and they don't really understand. It's a funny culture over there. Oh, they're too. Everything's just too. What, you mean like want the whole world to look like you? The devil is shivering and panicking, because he knows Jesus will build his church. He's trying to delay it. He's trying to destroy it. He's trying to fragment the church. He's trying to pull it apart. He's trying to You wouldn't believe the amount of church splits that go on over pathetic little things. People even leave our church family without saying a word to the leadership, because down the road, slight starts half an hour later, or the coffee's better. Do we really understand family? The enemy does. He understands the power of family. He understands the agenda of Jesus was to build the church. Of course, God moves people from one church to another, but he never drives them out through a fence. Never. We're supposed to fight beside each other, not at each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Again, this is the same message, different angle, different scripture. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of my warfare. Does it say my warfare? The weapons of our warfare. Once again, I mean, all the way, man, from beginning to end, Jesus is all, never thinks individually. He loves individual people. He has individual destiny. But even destiny will never find its full maximum potential outside of corporate church. There's only so much I can do without you, friend. I need you. Whether you like it or not, you need me and the people around you to help pull out destiny. For the weapons of our warfare, never fight alone. Maybe that's why you're not winning. Here's what I want you to do. A simple take-home point. Can I get your attention once again? If we can jump off our phones, that'd be great. No phones? Awesome. You ready? This is what I want you to do. The one thing I want you to do. Are you listening? Are you ready? You ready? The one thing. Build bridges, not walls. Build bridges, not walls, between us. Between relationships. Shall I repeat it? Learn, build bridges and not walls. Let's learn to build bridges and not walls between our relationships. I know how it rolls. Something happens. There's a text or a message, and dear God, please use actual voice if you possibly can. Use technology wisely. I've been so misunderstood and I've been so careless at times myself. Use these things. They're wonderful things. I use them, but use them wisely. Things can be so misunderstood. Some of us are so on our phones, we can't even have a human conversation. Pick up tone, body language. Let's learn to build bridges. When something happens, and it will happen, because guess what? Stuff happens in family, right, Malia? Siblings have a bit of an argument, and one parent feels taken advantage of, or who knows what, but families have stuff, and there'll be stuff happen in the church, and it'll be terrible, I know, and you need to get an apology, I know, but friend, work it out, don't just walk out the door. Grow up. Be mature. Apologize. Or say, it feels like there's something going on here. Maybe you don't need to apologize, but seek reconciliation, seek unity, build a bridge, and get over it. If we, listen, this is so, I think we underestimate, this is not just, oh, let's get along, happy families. No, 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 no. You're missing the big point here. If we can't make this work in here, how the heck are we going to better do it out there? If the church can't work with diversity, not just ethnically, but of gifting, of personality, I'm an introvert, you're an extrovert, oh, all of that. If we can't figure it out inside the church, how in God's sweet name are we going to have credibility in the world? Show them what real unity looks like. Maybe I could ask the band to come up and join me, please, and if we could begin to prepare communion. Remember, we're looking at following Jesus through the eyes of Peter. Remember that? The lens of Peter. And Peter's writing a letter, 1 Peter. He's writing it virtually at the same time as Paul is writing Ephesians. About 30 years after Jesus is talking about how the devil's trying to control you. He's trying to dissipate and break down the power of the church. It's a constant message, and Peter is teaching his people, his followers. 1 Peter is dealing with how do we respond to relationships, tension in relationships. You see, when Peter wrote, there was persecution. The Romans were persecuting the church. There was pressure. So absolutely, how they responded to the employer, how they responded to the bus driver, how they responded to the neighbor, very important. But that tension, and it was very high because there's persecution. That tension was seeping into the church, and they were breaking out with fights and complaints and issues and problems. And so Peter wrote this message. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. All of you should be of one mind. One translation says unity of mind. Sympathize with one another. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Here we go, listen up now. Don't repay evil with evil. Don't retaliate with insult when people insult you. So if someone does something carelessly, or maybe they meant it, I don't think so, but maybe they meant it, just a cultural nuance or a stray word, or they shouldn't really have pressed send, something happens. What Peter's saying, and I believe it's absolutely the teaching of Scripture of Jesus, is don't respond in likewise. The enemy, that's an enemy trying to divide. That's the tactic of the enemy. Don't repay, oh, well, blow them, I'm out of here. Delete, defriend. What the Scripture's saying, Peter's saying it so beautifully. Don't just react in the same spirit, the same heart. It's an opportunity to show Christ. And if you feel hard done by, welcome to the party. It's called Christianity. The one we worship and we sing, they killed him. Totally misunderstood. Just accept the fact that some people are not going to get you. But work hard to try to build a relationship. He says, don't repay evil with evil. Very strong language, and I think that's for a reason, because division in the church is evil. It's satanic. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Wow. You mean like I've got to kind of love these people around me? Uh-huh. It's kind of like training wheels for loving your enemy. The church is training wheels for loving your enemy. The church's training wheels are showing what true unity looks like, diversity and unity to a church. We've got issues even happening in the media at the moment, down on the Waikato and around, people grappling for unity. There's such an undercurrent of struggle and tension. And I wonder where the church is in this position, on this issue. Where's the church rising up? Because the government can only do so much. The government can't bring spiritual healing. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. So the next time someone does something to you, or maybe I say something and I apologize if I have, bless that person. Go in the opposite spirit. Don't allow a wall to be built. Build a bridge. So you both can get over it and have reconciliation. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. That's what Peter's saying right there. Build a bridge, not a wall. Family, I can't express how important this is for your well-being personally and for the reflection of this local church to the community that we live in. Have you ever done a jigsaw? Is anybody here? You do a jigsaw and you start at the corners and you work around the edges. And you work night and day. Maybe it's a 500-piece jigsaw. And maybe you've been in that position like I have, where you get to the very end and then just one piece missing. Isn't it frustrating? You look under the couch, you blame the kids, I mean, the dog ate it. I mean, you've got to get the one piece. I want to tell you today, every single one of you is important to this church family. I need you. We need you. Come and find your place. Don't remain on the outside. We need you. I can't do this without you. We're going to respond with communion. Communion celebrates the life of Christ, but it's through the blood of Christ that we become one family. Isn't that cool? With our diversity, we become one. And communion reminds us of the forgiveness that we have received. Is that true? Have you been forgiven by God? Have you been forgiven for all your sins? Would you forgive the other person? As you have received forgiveness, as I have received forgiveness, if there's a breakage, a wall is up, even amongst people in the room right now, someone's hurt you, I'm sorry that happened. Someone's maybe betrayed you in some way. I'm asking you today, in the light of what Jesus has done for you and I, would you forgive him and release it to him? And then bless them. Maybe a gift. Maybe some love. In some way express blessing over their lives. Forgive them. Do exactly what Peter told us to do. Bless them. Can we just close our eyes right now? As we distribute the elements, please, thank you, Pancash and team. Let's just do some reflection. Let's just check our hearts. While eyes are closed, the elements have been handed around. And if you're not a believer today, you're not following Jesus Christ, just let the elements go by. This is a Christian celebration. It's Eucharist, it's the Lord's Supper. There's different words for it, but it's remembering what Christ did for us. That's the ultimate reconciliation, the ultimate unity. That he came, and he paid the price, and he gave his life, and he built the bridge. I can cross that. Christians can cross to meet him. He built the bridge. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, know this one that I speak of, one in whom we worship. He will heal your heart. He will restore your soul. He wants to live in your heart, your life, bring incredible peace and joy and faith. But I want to tell you something to catch. He says, give your life to me. Give your life to me. I'll forgive all your sin. I'll cleanse you. I'll wash you. I want to have a relationship with you. Here we go again. This is God Almighty. God of the universe wants to be in unity with you, but sin has separated us. If by faith we can accept his death, his sacrifice, his death, accept his payment for the law, we can be reconciled to him. If you're listening to me this morning and you're not a believer, but you want to give your heart to Christ, you want to give your life to God, maybe you've walked away, maybe you've been doing your own thing, maybe you once did it. Whatever the condition, friend, it's never too late. Today's your day. All eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you today, I want to invite you to put your hand up on the count of three so I know who I'm praying. One, two, three. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Invite us to gently stand to our feet. take communion. We're going to sing a song. I want us to come with a humble heart. I want us to come with a desire. Father, right now, I pray that the walls come down. Let the walls be broken, whatever they may be. They might be hidden in our heart, maybe some prejudice of some sort, or some elitism, I'm not sure, or whatever, even a recent argument, maybe some conflict or breakdown, just misunderstanding and distance. Whatever's happened, Lord, I just want to right now come against the works of darkness. And Lord, I pray for every wall to come down. And every spiritual force of darkness to be eradicated to hell where it came from. And let this church be strong and unified in the name of Jesus. None of us deserve it, but in Christ we're made whole. Our heart, our soul, and our relationships. Thank you for your body, Jesus, that was broken for us. We celebrate, we worship you. Please take the body together. Blood, that complete work of Christ upon the cross, all of our sin, all our brokenness, can be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, even now we pray for healing, physical healing, emotional healing, relationship healing, mental healing. Oh Lord, we pray healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's take your blood together.